Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Kristen. Kristen slept over last night. We had a sleepover party.
Yeah, and I had chicken first thing in the morning because I just finished an 86-hour fast.
Yes.
It was insane, and it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. Okay, so I saw Dana White, the founder and president of UFC. I saw this, you know, on my Explore. I'm like, this seems pretty interesting because there's different phases of the fast. I actually have them. I should read them. But once you hit a certain amount of hours, I believe it's 72 hours, that's when your body naturally will regenerate stem cells, which is the closest thing we have to Fountain of Youth. And if you, you know, continuously do this, you have a 70% turnover rate of cancer cells, like just getting rid of all of that. You basically only drink water for 3 days. On the third day, that was going to pass out. So then you can have some bone broth. But I just finished and I feel amazing.
You're making me feel like I need to do that because I'm one of those people who's always like, the cancer is growing.
That's
like,
me.
I don't know what it's from.
Like,
where it is.
I feel like everything is giving me cancer these days, like in our food and our products. And like, the more you know, it's almost like ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
But I feel like I know too much. But the biggest takeaway from that, I didn't do this to lose weight by any means. I definitely did this to turn over those shitty cells. But my biggest takeaway is I'm so much mentally stronger than I give myself credit for. And I think there's so many things people think, especially when it comes to like fasting, but also life is, oh, I can't do that. There's no way I could do that. No way I could live without my coffee and creamer, mm-hmm. live without food. It's like, it was all mental. Like
it
the first day,
is.
My lip was quivering because I wanted food. Second day, I felt like I was on Adderall because I was like so hyper-focused mm-hmm. and clear. Third day, super lethargic and tired. Could barely get out of bed. But at the whole time, I'm like, you got this. You got this. Another hour. So it just goes to show like you're so much more mentally stronger than you think.
I know. It's so true. And like, I always feel like there's never a good time to do something like this.
Never.
You always talk yourself out of it, especially me with, I have 50-50 with my kids. So I'm like, okay, if I want to quit something, I need to do it on a day, like on the days that I don't have them so that I'm not like withdrawing from food while I'm with them and then being like short fused. And
oh, I was short fused for sure.
And I've tried to do, I remember I did like the cayenne pepper lemon thing. And then always by like 48 hours, it's my logical mind. And this is with any addiction, like your logical mind. They say, don't believe everything you think because your brain does not have all the answers, especially if you feel like you're super creative and analytical. And that's what anxiety is, being like trying to figure shit out. By the second day, I'm always like, you know, it's not really good to starve yourself. Like, you know, I'll try to confirm everything I already believe or that I want to hear.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you should never starve yourself. It's horrible for your hormones, especially if you're a woman or like this time of the month. Oh, I'm not doing it at the right time of the month. But you're always going to find a reason not to do something.
I know. So I'm proud of myself for sticking through with it because that was my biggest thing is like, I can't give up. Like if I give up, that's just my inner bitch, you know? And we all have an inner bitch in our shoulder being like, oh, like you said, like, oh, you know, I could probably have a bite of food now. And so I'm proud of myself for not giving up, not listening to the inner bitch and just going into 2024, realizing I'm so much more capable than what I've been doing. And on that note, we wanted to talk today about kind of like what we've learned, where we're at, how we're doing, what we want to do moving forward. I mean, it's been such a crazy year. So many highs, so many lows, so many changes, especially for you, obviously. I obviously had Nala, that's completely rocked my world in the best way possible, but like totally different life a year from now, or a year ago. You are now almost 5 months sober, officially divorced. How are like the steps and everything going?
Oh my God. This has been the biggest change for me. Over the last like 5 months, I feel like I've grown more than I have in the last 10 years.
That's amazing.
You know, just, it's interesting how like sometimes you can age 10 years in 2 days, and then sometimes it takes 2 days to age 10 years. I just said that. Or age 10 years. No, sometimes it could take 10 years to age what feels like 2 days. And sometimes it could take 2 days to age what feels like 10 years. And that's what I felt recently. It's just like, there's been a lot of uncovering for me. Like when I stopped drinking, it wasn't hard for me because alcohol wasn't really something that I was addicted to in the sense that you would normally think. Like, yes, did I use it to numb? Did I use it as a crutch? Did I lean on it when things got tough? Yeah, but not to an excess where people were like, oh, Aurora's sloppy again. Yeah. You know, I always put myself to bed. I was never the sloppy one. But when I cut it out of my life, I started to have to deal with things head on. And I didn't have that numbing option anymore. Mm-hmm. So you really have to tune into like, well, where is this coming from? And then all these other things start coming up. And it's like, oh, maybe I'm actually a little addicted to positive affirmations from other people. Maybe I'm looking for my value in someone else's approval. And these things are tough to face when you don't have something to lean on. And I think that's what I realized the most is that over the last 10 years, when I started rubbing up against these uncomfortable truths of like, why am I in this relationship? Is it for some kind of validation? You know, I'd be like, oh, I'll just have a glass of wine, forget about it.
Yeah.
But now that that's not an option, it's like, fuck, I got to actually deal with this.
What are some of the tools? Because I've heard in therapy, whether you do therapy or you do the steps, like you have this toolbox now. You've been adding tools to your toolbox.
Oh my God, yeah.
What are some of the tools that you're using now instead of being like, oh, I'm going to go have a glass of wine and like numb myself or, you know, vape or Adderall? It's like, what do you do now that you don't have the negative tools? You have more positive tools in your
toolbox.
This
is one of the things that I am the most grateful for this past year that I've learned. And I hope to sometime write a book about this. Like, about incorporating the 12 steps of AA into the life of a non-addict. Because the thing is, it's like, people don't realize these tools can be applied to anything. Like, basically, the number one qualifier to be in AA is a desire to stop drinking, a compulsive behavior. But what other compulsive behaviors do we all have all the time? Compulsive thinking, compulsive negative thinking. There's so many compulsions that we have all the time. And the first step is admitting that I'm powerless over this thing. Let's say I'm powerless over men. I'm powerless over the emotions of my children. I'm powerless over other people's reactions, which we all are. And once you admit that you're powerless over that, you turn it over to your higher power after that. And you say, you know what? This is too heavy for me to carry. I'm going to turn this over because nothing that I can do to manipulate, I tried to be so creative for so many years to try to manipulate my reality to fit my needs. But you can't do that because we don't have the power. And it's so freeing to turn it over to a higher power and be like, you know what? This is too heavy. I don't want to carry it anymore. And after that, you can go through your list of like resentments against other people. Because I think a lot of us become a victim when we're like, well, you know, I'm this way because my dad didn't want to go to the father-daughter dance with me when I was seven.
Are you at that step yet?
I'm on the fourth step.
What's that?
The fourth step is, so I've admitted that I'm powerless over whatever. Let's say there's a lot of things I'm powerless over. I'm powerless over, right now I feel fucking powerless over dating. So let's just, we'll put that in there. I'm willing to believe that there's a power greater than myself that can take this burden from me. I turn it over to God. Then the fourth step is when you make a list of your resentments, of like things that other people did to you that you're carrying with you. And then after that, you kind of try to find your part in that. You try to find your part in, did my mom ignore me when I was little because she was on tour all the time? Yeah, but like, what part did you play in that? Like, it's making you not a victim. When you write your list of resentments towards other people, the next step is ultimately figuring out if you did play a certain part in that. And if you did, which a lot of times, you know, if you were molested by somebody, it's like, no, you didn't. It's not your fault. But it's basically taking the burden away from yourself. And if you did play any kind of a part in it, was it your pride? Was it any kind of manipulation? Then you can ultimately let it go. But I'm only on the fourth step, so I haven't quite done that yet.
I was so fortunate to go to a meeting with you at Kara's house, who was a guest on our show. If you listened, it was an amazing episode. And I don't identify as an addict. You know, yes, I drink sometimes. Yes, I smoke weed. So I'm sure there's boundaries I could set for myself. But aside from that, like, anyone can learn from this. I was crying because I might not be addicted to alcohol, but I have obsessive thoughts that like aren't always great in my life. And that's something I'm learning this year is understanding what I'm powerless over. I'm such an A-type OCD control freak. I need things to be absolutely done my way and perfect. And I'm realizing like, that's not going to happen all the time. Shit's going to hit the fan. Like usually just a small example, we just did our Christmas pictures and everyone knows, don't talk to mom. She's sweating. She's going up and down the stairs. Everyone needs to look perfect. Your hair has to be perfect. If one piece of hair is sticking up, I'm like freaking out. Hey, smile the right way. And that's like kind of like when the crazy mom, pageant mom, I guess, comes out in me. But like, I was just like, you know what? It's okay. It's all good. That is what it is. We got three kids, you know? So yeah. I'm trying to be better. I've realized that I am very overall an intense person. I'm much more intense than I always thought I was. And it's my blessing and my curse. And I'm not for everyone. That's another thing I've learned. You know, I'm really leaning into not people pleasing as much as I used to be. Yes, I'm going to have more people, some more, you know, negative feedback, but I'm also getting more positive feedback because I am leaning into who I genuinely am. And I'm trying to be unapologetically that because at the end of the day, you're going to offend 50% of the people no matter what. So why not live your truth? So I'm really trying to lean into that and just accept that I'm not for everyone and that is okay.
Hi guys, it's Jordan from the Balanced Blonde Soul on Fire podcast. On my show, we go deep on all things astrology, awakening, motherhood, channeling, healing, and so much more. A few years ago, I was diagnosed with chronic Lyme disease and the healing journey I embarked on at that time set me on the path to radical awakening. Let's just say I had no choice but to change my energy and that opened me up to the most beautiful healing of my life. On my show, you can expect to feel like you're sitting in my living room chatting with old friends. Tune in every Wednesday to connect and hang on the Balanced Blonde Soul on Fire.
The most relieving thing about this entire process is just getting over myself.
Yeah.
Because when you really think about it, all of these obsessions that we are trying to control and that's taking up all the space in our brain, it's so self-focused. And so they tell you to do like the contrary action. So if I'm feeling in my head because this guy said we were going to hang out, what do? I call a friend. A friend of mine just lost her fiance. He died suddenly. So I called her, checked in with her. I was seeing how she was doing. She was telling me about all the processes she's going through. And you know what? After I got off the phone with her, she felt better because someone checked in on her. I felt better because I had 15 minutes to not think about my stupid problems. And then it just puts everything into perspective about like, you know, we're living in this world that we think is so huge that we've created in our brains, but we are just going, like, we're going to go with the flow, let go or be dragged.
Yes.
Because the flow is happening and you can swim against the current or whatever, but like, you're
such a speck of sand in the world. Like, we really are. We're not that important. Like, you are important. You're important.
Yeah.
But if something happens, if shit happens, like, it lasts 2 days and you move on. You know, aside from the shit that really does happen, the real shit. But, like, for the most part, your phone cracks, the guy doesn't call you back, and it's bullshit, but you got to move on.
But you know what? We are important. We're just as important as we can help another person from our experience.
Ooh, I like
so
that.
The guy not calling me back, me obsessing about it.
Something good.
Turned into something where I'm like, you know, because I'm YouTubing, like, what do you do when this happens? And it's like, this person on YouTube has helped me. You know what? I'm going to share my experience when I come around the other end of this, because you always do.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to help somebody else because
you probably made her day. Like, I'm a huge proponent of giving random people compliments. Like, if a girl's just walking by, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love your shoes. Like, I genuinely mean it.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't like to get a compliment? And I think like that's kind of a lost art. We just pass people by as if they're nobodies. And just to say hi or to make eye contact or how was your Thanksgiving or wow, I really like those pants. Aurora has the best pants on right now. Just like a small compliment. That's something I'm bringing as something I like about myself.
Yeah.
And that's something I want to like continue to do going into 24 is just like I think you said great. It's like paying it forward, like calling your friend or picking up the phone or doing one act of service. Like that's what I took away, is to do acts of service and like realizing like there's so much, there's something greater than you.
Yeah.
You know?
And that ultimately is the cure to any addiction. The cure to any addiction, once you go through all the other steps of like turning it over, you know, getting out of your head, giving up your control over an outcome, and then ultimately you pay it forward. Mm-hmm. You know, it worked for you. And in the process of helping another person overcome their addiction, whatever it is, you're maintaining your own practice of overcoming your own addictions. Because mm-hmm. if you just stop at that, it'll come back. We always end up falling back to our old habits because they're so ingrained in our brain. You know, there's people who've been sober for 40 years, but maybe they're not drinking, maybe they're not using, but it's like, if you look at the pattern of their behavior in their daily life, they're not sober. They're still acting out in all these different ways. So it's like sobriety is more than withholding from using a substance. It's a way of life. And the pinnacle to that way of life is paying it forward by helping other people.
How are you doing? Because your specific addiction when you initially went in, until you realized you could have multiple addictions, was Adderall. Is that like, how are you doing with that in moments of like, because you're working, it's the holidays, you got kids by yourself.
Well,
like,
you got in my car this morning, you tell me.
How are you good with the temptations? Like, do you feel so, like you're in a good place?
So I have a lot of compassion for myself because the reason I got into a habit of using Adderall was because I was prescribed it because I have ADHD. Like, you can call up Dr. Amen, look at my brain. He's like, your frontal lobes,
they're
not working. Yeah. He's like, let me help you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I started taking Adderall in high school and it's very effective. Mm-hmm. The only problem is that there's so many side effects and it was never enough. It was always too much and it was never enough.
Yeah. So I was prescribed Adderall. It's so funny because when I went to go see a psychiatrist, I think I was 19, I had to do a questionnaire. He's like talking to my mom, I'm doing it. And I'm like, can you guys like be quiet? Like I need to like focus. He's like, I ripped up the paper. I knew you had it because you couldn't even do that in the room. So after a couple of years, I abused it for sure in college. And I just hated how it made me feel. Like Adderall made me feel cracked out. I felt like a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. So I started using nootropics. Have you used nootropics before?
I have used nootropics actually. You know, I've experimented with all the alternatives.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess I don't think I really gave it enough of a chance because I was like still in my phase of like, I need 900 milligrams
for
of Adderall
sure.
a day.
But I think especially in LA, oh my gosh, I feel like everyone has Adderall. If you're looking for an alternative, I'm all things holistic. I use Aventura. I love it so much. It's a nootropic. So think of like a multivitamin, but a multivitamin for your brain. So it's going to have lion's mane. It's going to give all the long-term benefits.
I love lion's mane.
I know. It's so good. So they have lion's mane. So it's going to give you all the long-term benefits. So Alzheimer's runs in my family. So anything I can do to protect my brain long-term, I want to like sign me up holistically, vitamins, yes, in a supplement form that's just natural, but also something short-term that's going to give me focus without that cracked out feeling.
Oh, yeah.
So I use Aventura. I'm obsessed with it. I highly suggest it. And it's incredible.
The worst part about the Adderall for me was the depression that follows.
Yeah, it's like an anxiety.
You don't get a high without there being some low. I don't care like how far off you push it. And I think that was the cycle I was getting in, was that I would do anything to avoid that crash.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, maybe if I have a glass of wine, maybe if I take a Xanax to take the edge off, it's like, I will do anything to not feel bad.
Yeah.
And if I take an Adderall, the bad is, you can push it off as far as you want, but it's just going to make the low even lower.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're doing the steps. What have you learned, would you say, this year as a mom?
As a mom? Oh my God. I've definitely, so I thought when I, that my whole life, the only thing I really knew was that I always wanted to be a mom. I was like, this, I'm meant for this. Like I'm a nurturer. And I really am. Like I'm an empath by nature. Empaths have a hard time with boundaries and it's easy for us to slip into becoming enmeshed in our relationships. I think what I've realized is that the reason why I always knew that I wanted to have kids is because I always wanted something to be able to love that couldn't leave me and to love me back. And like, that's codependency.
Yeah.
So, you know, would I give up my kids? No, but what I've realized, and I love my kids more than anything in the world, but man, they are my greatest teachers. Like what I've realized about being a mom is that these kids, they don't fill up that God-sized hole in your heart. You know, they're not going to give you the the fullness that you think that this love greater than anything is going to give you. Because like what I'm realizing is only you can give yourself that. Yeah. And only you can give yourself that by, in my opinion, like turning it over to a higher power, knowing that you're connected to something much greater than yourself.
Yeah.
And only then when your heart is full, can you give from a full cup to your kids. And so this is a daily fucking practice. Let me tell you, yeah. These kids push my buttons.
I have this quote. I just changed it to my background. And this is something I've learned this year as a mom. I think like when you are so driven as a woman who is a mother, it's a blessing and a curse because you want to show your kids that you can do anything and that mom can do it too. And she's capable and she's hardworking and lead by example. But at the same time, like I'm really realizing like how fast it goes by. You hear that all the time. Like it goes by so fast. Mm-hmm. It goes by so fast. And I only have a couple, which is crazy. I look at baby pictures of Jackson and now all he wants for Christmas is Nike stuff.
I know.
You know? And so I saw this quote. I'm sure you saw it. You blink and they are 8, then 28, and then they are parents. So take it in, mama. Let them climb into bed with you. Sing a song that they requested for the 10th time, which is O-Town Liquid Dreams for Jackson. Hold them a little tighter when they want to hug you. Maybe in raising children, you lose your mind a bit, but boy, do you find your soul. So I changed that to my background.
She's crying. We got her crying again.
But it's so true. It goes by so fast. So like I'm trying to let go, like I said earlier, of the things I can't control. And I'm trying to find beauty in the chaos and embrace it more. I have like major OCD. I can't even work unless like, even if there's an envelope on the counter, I'm like, there's a mess. I have to put it away before I sit down, which then affects my workflow. So I'm trying to like, it's okay. You know, I'm cool. Like,
I'm cool. I see that.
I let the mail sit on the corner for 10 minutes. Like, so I'm trying to be more easygoing in that sense, because if I could be more easygoing and like let go and be like, you know what? Laundry can wait. Mm-hmm. You know, it can wait. I can play with my kids instead.
Yeah. So I've seen a change in you in this way for sure. Because I think, especially because you're kind of like hardcore. Yeah. And I think society tells us that like, it's cool to be super clean. Yeah. It's cool to be a type A person. But like, you know, it's not cool.
It's
like
hard.
Losing your goddamn mind.
It's hard.
So I think you've been able to relax a little bit. When I first met you, you were like, my kids go to bed at 5 p.m. Yeah. None of them have ever seen my bed.
Yeah.
But now you're like, they can sleep with us.
Yeah. Now on weekends, they got to come in our bed. So like, that's a huge thing for me. Like I never let them in our bed. And now I'm like embracing the cuddles and all the things that, like, all the stupid songs we sing.
Oh, my
and
God. We have the worst. My kid's like kids bop. And
Jackson thinks that's not cool.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, though. It's like, it used to be cool to him, and now it's not cool.
I'm Isn't it kind of heartbreaking when your kid comes home and they're like, well, my friend Camden said that, like, these sneakers aren't cool or, like, that song's not cool. And it's like, oh.
I know.
It's but heartbreaking.
On the flip side, Jackson has Skechers and he thinks they are so fucking cool. He thinks they're like the LeBron James shoe. They're like, you see my new Skechers? Like he thinks they're so cool.
Remy doesn't like his like Target Spider-Man shoes anymore. Remember he used to like only wear superhero stuff for like 5 years.
That was Conway who would wear his headphones. Like, God bless
Conway. Conway's style is really elevated. He wears a fur vest.
I always wonder what he's going to be like when he grows up.
He's going to be that like hot jock who like is like a little aloof, but you're just like, he's so fucking hot and he's like super smart, but like
really goofy. And girls like him and he has no idea.
Yeah. It's like also really gentle, like a gentle giant.
For sure. We're getting him into, he starts next week. One, this program for like American Ninja Warrior. It's like a parkour thing. Oh my kids are obsessed with it. And then a STEM program. So he wants to be an engineer.
Okay.
So bad. This like our house looks like we have a side yard. I call it Conway's secret lab. It's where we throw all the recycling stuff because he builds. He just gets masking tape and he builds stuff together with cardboard. Yeah. So that's another thing as a parent. I'm trying to find, there was a NASA study. They were trying to find more geniuses.
Yeah.
So did you hear about this?
Yeah.
So they did a study, and I don't know the specific numbers, but something like this, you know, when you're under 4, about like 90% of people are geniuses. Mm-hmm. And then when you go to 10, it's like goes to 50. And then by the time you're 18, it's down to like 20. And then it's down by the time you're a grown adult, it's like 3% of people are geniuses, something like that. The numbers are wrong, I know. But it just goes to show like when they're so young, like that's when they're most innocent and creative. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to find with my kids what those things are. And I think I've identified it. It's definitely sports for Jackson and being a leader. He likes to control things. I have no idea where he gets that from. And then Conway loves to build. He loves STEM. So like it's my duty as a parent to feed that.
Yeah. And also I think that study is so interesting because what it really shows us is that
the school system?
Well, no, that it's life that undoes our genius. Yes. It's life experience. It's the world rubbing up against us. And so our work is actually to unlearn everything we've learned to return back to our better self.
Well, then another theory with that study specifically was that the school system is failing us because we teach people to all be the same when we're not the same. And to stick in this box and to file resumes and to yes, sir, no, sir. Yeah. And they're raising employees.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's based on this like industrial. I mean, when you think of like school bells and all the kids like sitting in a line, like it's made for breeding factory.
So
people.
Hospitals, jails and schools all look the same.
With
the buses. Yeah. I mean, one just has barbed wire on them.
Yeah.
But it's all the same. And that's another thing, a debate I'm struggling with internally is like, I know this now. It goes back to that ignorance is bliss. It's like, I know this now. What do I do with this knowledge now? And it's like, do I do some sort of like pod situation or like part-time
school?
Definitely
change it up. When you look at the places in the world that have the highest literacy rate and like the most successful schools, like places like Finland, their schools do not look like a hospital or a jail.
They're outside.
Or they're like, they look like a playground. And like, it's crazy like how different it is. I feel like our schools are just depressing.
It is. I saw Kanye West. Don't hate me, guys. I'm a Kanye fan. But he's crazy and says shit he absolutely shouldn't. Okay, so I'll preface it with that. But he does make excellent points. He was at a speaking engagement and he's like, there's sunlight and fresh air outside, but we're inside with air conditioning and fluorescent lights. And I was like, that is so fucking true.
Yeah.
Like everything we need is there.
Like, is he crazy or is everybody else crazy?
Or is he just really smart?
Yeah. It's like maybe we need to get like a 5-year-old to listen to him. If he makes sense to the 5-year-old, then he's not crazy. We're crazy.
Yeah, because that 5-year-old is technically a genius.
Yeah.
So what are you taking away from this year? And what have you learned in business and in professional life?
Oh, man. I think there's so much of like your business life that's wrapped up in your own sense of self-worth. Mm-hmm. And if you're struggling with any kind of addiction or relationship things where you're feeling small, like that is going to permeate in every part of your life. And I think for a long time, I was like, I'm not the kind of person who really like makes her own money. Like I'm not like a boss bitch kind of person. Yeah. Like I'm a caretaker. I'm a mom type. I'm very sensitive and empathetic. So like, I'm supposed to take care of a man who makes all the money, but it's like, you know, that's not an option for me anymore because I'm divorced. So it's like, now that I'm making like, you know, I'm fully responsible for all my own financial needs for the first time in my life. I've stepped the fuck up.
That's
and it's amazing.
Amazing.
And it's like, and it's such an amazing experience for me to watch myself be able to pay my bills and then some and like buy the things that I want to buy and not have to rely on anybody else.
I have to give you credit too, because you guys, if you remember day one, Aurora came in about a half hour late, hungover.
No, I'm still drunk.
And was pouring vodka in her Red Bull. And you guys don't see the behind the scenes and the hours of work we do, but I personally have seen so much professional, beyond personal growth in you. She is like on her shit and you have grown so much professionally.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Love that.
For me, I've learned that I work best in flow mode. I need dedicated hours. And this is something I'm doing. So for anyone listening, for a takeaway and a tip, I get sidetracked, especially working from home. I'm like, okay, I'm going to answer this email. Then I'm just going to put a load of laundry in real quick. And then, and because of my obsessive thinking, now I have to clean the dishes and put them away because I can't have dishes in the sink. So for me, I'm working on my calendar. I live in a Google calendar. I color coordinate it, shocker. Ugh. But I work best when I'm in flow mode. And flow mode is amazing. It's almost kind of like a meditative state.
Yeah.
I put focus music on. I block off usually 2 hours of my day. That means no meetings, no cell phone, do not disturb. 2 hours. I put my headphones on and I will get more done in those 2 hours than I would in 3 days.
Okay, you need to help me because I've tried to carve out time. But then like when that time comes, I'm like, what am I supposed to be doing again? Like
There's always something to do. There's always something
to
do.
I have so many lists going. Yeah. But like I always end up thinking of something that's more important. You know what like my problem, like ADHD, I think problem is, which you need to teach me how to be more like you. But like I'll sit down and be like, that's not important. I'm always like trying to categorize like what's more important. And then I don't get like the little things done that end up piling up and then becoming a problem.
For sure. And some of those little things are the big things. Like same thing. I was like, what am I supposed to do right now? I think I already did it all yesterday when there's a million things. I just cleared my inbox. I've had a clear inbox all year. And it was like a hallelujah moment. Yeah. And it's one of those things, almost like when you get a new iPhone, you're like, I'm going to delete the pictures so it doesn't add up to 22,000.
Yeah. So, no, you're not. Yeah. If you think you are going to delete your photos, I'm here to tell you you're not.
So that was, even just clearing my inbox was amazing. So I'm going to try, I'm already starting some sort of like calendar where it's like, you know, Monday, Wednesdays, that's my flow mode. Tuesday, Thursdays, that's podcast work, you know, and dedicating time to certain areas of my life. I've learned that's the way I'm the most productive. And when I'm productive, I'm happy. Yes. And happy people don't shoot their husbands.
I'm going to do this. And happy people don't shoot their husbands.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we should leave it on that. Happy people don't shoot their husbands.
I love that. And then stay tuned. We will do our goals coming up here next month in January.
Yay.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.